أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Dear viewers, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you know, we are talking about forgiveness. We wanted to suffice to two lectures on forgiveness. But since the topic is very sensitive, and since the topic is of prime importance, therefore, we added another lecture to explaining it. You see, nowadays, they give a very bad image of Islam. Orientalists used to describe Islam as the religion of sword, and they were referring to historical documents in order to prove their point of view. But they did not have any live evidence to show that Islam is really a religion of violence and a religion of sword. But unfortunately, in recent decades, we observe developments in the world of Islam that prove Orientalist theory that Islam is really the religion of sword. Islam spreads its doctrines not through logic, not through discussion, but through sword. The deeds done by takfiris here and there in Muslim countries is a good example of showing that Islam is not the religion of peace. It is enough to visit different sites that are related to the Muslim extremists, and it's enough to pay attention to what they are doing in Muslim countries, beheading people, looting shops, and doing atrocities in the name of Islam, in the name of Quran. This is very bad. This is very bad. They may think that by doing so they can spread Islam and they can serve Islam. No, they are wrong. By doing such kind of deeds, they cannot spread Islam. They create hatred in the heart of others. They cause others to hate Islam and to despise it. And therefore, I thought it is very necessary to touch the different aspects of Islam, including it is a lenient aspect and it is merciful aspect. Islam is a religion of peace and a religion of brotherhood, though it also makes use of sword, it makes use of weaponries, but it does not rely on weaponries alone, it does not rely on sword alone, it makes use of discussion, it makes use of arguments, and it makes use of logic. And above all, Islam is the religion of forgiveness. There are numerous verses in the Holy Quran that directly and indirectly introduce Islam as the religion of forgiveness. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala emphasizes on forgiveness, saying that Muslims must adhere to this principle and must put this principle into practice. If Islam was not concerned about peace, if Islam was not concerned about forgiveness, it would not have issued so many decrees, it would not have issued so many commandments. The attention that Islam has paid to the principle of forgiveness shows how much Islam is concerned about this principle and how much Islam likes others to follow this principle. And I recited many verses that were dealing with the principle of forgiveness before. And in this session, I'm going to recite another verse that is related to the question of forgiveness. Look at this verse. What does it say? And let us study this verse collectively. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالزَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَازِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. This verse describes one of the qualities of believers. Believers, from the viewpoint of the Holy Quran, has got certain characteristics and certain qualities. And by these qualities and by looking at these attributes, we can know who is a believer and who is not a believer. Everything has its own signs and its own characteristics. If you minus the characteristics, then you will not be able to know the thing that is under investigation. So it is very much important to pay attention to the attributes and characteristics. It is through attributes that we can know the things to which the attributes belong. This verse describes the qualities of believers, or at least one of the qualities of believers. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ. This is one of the qualities. Those who spend their wealth when they are at ease and when they are leading a prosperous life. وَالزَّرَّاءِ. And those who spend their wealth when they are at the cases of destitution or poverty or adversity. Those who spend their properties, whether they are well off or not, they are the believers. You might ask this question, that how is it possible for a person to spend his money when he does not have any money? When a person has got money, he can spend it. He can give it to the poor. But when a person does not have money, how can he spend it? We can answer this question in many ways. First of all, you can say that spending is not restricted to spending from your wealth. You can, of course, spend your wealth, but you can also spend your knowledge. Allah the Almighty has given you knowledge. Allah has given you skill. Allah has given you things which others do not have. So if you cannot spend your money, and if you don't have money to spend, then share your knowledge with others. Share your skills with others. For example, you know how to manage a computer. You know you are a computer programmer. So you can let others know about this system using your knowledge and using your skills. So there are different things, you know, for example, about Islam. And there are people who are very much concerned about Islam, and they want to know about Islam. And you can share your knowledge with them. You can teach them, you can guide them, you can show them the way. These are the examples of spending. So spending is not restricted to spending money. Spending can be expanded and extended to spending your knowledge and skills as well. So this is one thing. Another point that can be said in response is that people always look at important things. For example, if you spend a lot of money, then people say, okay, he is spending his money. But if you spend a meager amount, they don't pay attention. They may say that you have done nothing. But this is not the case. If you spend, it is important for you to think about God and to do it for the sake of God. As long as you do a thing for the sake of God, it will be acceptable, no matter whether it is considerable or not. And even if you do a considerable work, and if you pay a considerable payment, then you do not do it for the sake of God, and again, it will be of no use. What is very important is that you should do whatever you do for the sake of God, the Almighty. No matter, even if your action is not very much important, it will be accepted by God. So don't think about the volume of your spending, of the money you spend. What is important is your intention. As long as your intention is pure, then your deed will be accepted. On the other hand, if you, for example, spend $5, and if your friend also spends $5, $5 alone will not be anything. But when everybody makes such a donation, the result will be very important. These small and meager donations will make a very large sum, and that will be very much important. So don't think that when you are living from hand to mouth, you cannot do anything. No, you can do something, and don't be disappointed. Wal kazimin al ghayz, this is another quality that belongs to the believers. Wal kazimin al ghayz, and those who restrain their anger. When you are angry, and when you control your anger, then you are among those who are called al-kazimin al-ghayz. If you restrain your anger, and if you are not controlled by your anger, and if your anger does not rule you, then you are a person who is entitled to be called a believer. Wal-afina anin-nas. Only to restrain your anger is not enough. It is, of course, good to control your anger, but it is not enough. Because if you always control your anger, it might create psychological problem for you. In the long run, you may face problems. Islam advises us, Islam asks us to be practical. Islam says, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. It is not enough to restrain your anger. And the believers are those who forgive others. So first of all, you should restrain your anger. And the second step that you need to take is that you must forgive others. If others do anything wrong to you, or if anyone has done anything wrong to you, then try to forgive him. First of all, don't get angry with him. And secondly, try to forgive him. And look at him as if he has not done anything to you. So this is very important. There is a very good story that can be in one way related to this verse, and it can better explain this verse. The story belongs to Ali bin Hussein. Imam Zainul Abidin had a maid servant. One day he ordered her to pour water so that he could wash his hands. But when she was pouring water, all of a sudden the jug fell on the ground and it broke. The Imam looked back at her somewhat angrily. The maid servant was very clever. She quickly recited the words saying, "Wal-Kazimina al-Ghais." Believers are those who restrain their anger. And as soon as she read this verse, Imam said, "Okay, I controlled my anger, I restrained my anger." So the holy Imam complied with the implication of the verse. And then the maidservant recited the rest of the verse, saying that "Wal-Afina anin nas," and "those who forgive others." Believers are those who forgive others. And as soon as she recited this part of the verse, the holy Imam said that "I forgive you." And when she reached her, she recited the last part of the verse, saying, "Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin." Allah loves those who do good deeds. When she recited this part of the verse, then the holy Imam said, "I freed you. You are no longer my servant. You are free. You can go anywhere you like." This tradition is available in Shia as well as in Sunni sources, and it's a very beautiful tradition. It tells us that what should a good Muslim be like? Should we follow the example of the extremists who are fighting with everyone in the name of Islam? Or should we follow an example of leniency, an example of peace, like the example of Ali ibn al-Husayn? So this is a very eye-opening and very good example. One more point that has to be added in regard with the principle of forgiveness is that forgiveness, first of all, we mentioned that it is one of the qualities of the believers. If we want to be a believer, we must try to have these qualities or to acquire this quality. Another important function of this important moral principle is that if you acquire this principle and if you forgive others, then make sure that you will be forgiven by God. So you see that forgiveness of human beings or human forgiveness causes divine forgiveness. If you want to be forgiven by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if you want to be pardoned by God, then try to pardon others. Try to forgive others. Don't try to find faults with others. It is easy to find faults with others. We are human beings. Human beings are prone to errors. We err. We mistake. Every now and then. It is not a good habit to find faults with others. The good habit is to ignore the faults committed by others. Don't be in search of the faults committed by others. Try to ignore them, try to overlook them, and try to pass by them. So if you acquire this habit, the habit of forgiveness, then make sure that you have prepared the ground for divine forgiveness. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive you. Look at this verse. The verse is very much beautiful. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. They must forgive. Human beings must forgive. They must pardon each other. And look what does Allah says. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you like and don't you love to be forgiven by Allah? In other words, the Holy Quran tries to create a link between your forgiveness and divine forgiveness. It says if you are the people of forgiveness, then make sure that Allah will forgive you. But if you yourself are not among the people of forgiveness, if you don't like to forgive others, if you always want to punish others, then don't expect God to forgive you and not to give you punishment. So this verse creates a beautiful link between two habits. If you are the people of forgiveness, then make sure that Allah will forgive you. Allah will ignore your mistakes. But if you are not among the people of forgiveness, then Allah may not forgive your faults. Allah will disclose your faults. According to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, forgiveness is the best quality. Al-afu tajul makarim. It is the crown of all good qualities. It is the prince of all qualities. He means moral qualities. It is the best among moral qualities, forgiveness. And because of this, if you give a look at the history of Islam, especially at the behavior of the Holy Prophet, you will find out how much he is concerned about this principle, and how much he likes to practice this principle. In the Battle of Uhud, the Holy Prophet lost some of his teeth. And one of the companions of the Holy Prophet approached him, saying, "O Prophet, why don't you curse these people? If you curse, of course they will be perished and they will not be able to confront you." What did the Holy Prophet say? Did the Holy Prophet curse his enemies? No. The Holy Prophet said, "Inni lam ub'as la'anan, walakinni bu'istu da'iyan wa rahmatan." How beautiful this saying is. The Holy Prophet says, "I was not sent in order to curse others. I was sent in order to invite others to peace, to prosperity, to dignity, to human values. This is my mission. My mission is not to spread hatred. My mission is not to spread violence. My mission is not to curse others or to use foul language against others. My mission is to invite others towards truth and to propagate truth among people. وَلَكِنِّي بُعِسْتُ دَعِيًا وَرَحْمَةً. And I'm a mercy. اللَّهُمَّ اهْدِ قَوْمِي فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ." The Holy Prophet says, he raises his hands, saying, "O Allah, guide my people, for they do not know, they are ignorant. If they knew what they are doing, they would not do it. They are ignorant, and because of this, O Allah, forgive them." So you see, this is the conduct of our Holy Prophet. Our Holy Prophet was the manifestation of forgiveness. When he conquered Mecca, he could take revenge upon his enemies. He could kill Abu Sufyan, he could kill many of the inhabitants of Mecca. But contrary to all this, the Holy Prophet did not kill, he avoided bloodshedding. He announced that anyone who takes refuge to the house of Abu Sufyan, he will be safe and sound and nobody will be able to touch him. Similarly, he said that if anyone takes refuge to Masjidul Haram, again he will be safe and sound. Look, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has put the house of Abu Sufyan beside the house of Allah, saying that anyone who will take refuge in any one of these two houses, he or she will be immune from dangers. It is despite the fact that Abu Sufyan was an arch enemy of the Holy Prophet, he left no stone unturned in order to oppose the Holy Prophet, in order to fight against him. But despite all this, the Holy Prophet forgave him. This is the conduct of our Holy Prophet. And this is the image, the true image of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. So let us try to follow this example and not to follow the example of violence and things like that. Thank you very much.